Let us pray, Lord God. As I sing that song, Lord God, I'm singing, my heart is yours. My heart is yours, God. But as I meditate on the scripture, Lord God, that we're going to talk about today. God. Lord, God, I'm praying today that this scripture, God, that you would not just work on my heart as you've been doing with it. I work on the hearts of my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. God, help us to see the depth of your love. God, help us to see the sacrifice that it requires. Help us to understand this higher standard of living, of holiness that you have called us to. Help us to see the depths of what you mean, the love that you want shown from your people. You tell us to turn the other cheek. Help us see the depth of that. God, that we don't just read over this text and just go talking about lunch and food and what we're doing after church, God, but that this word just stay stuck on our heart. You require us to live holy for you, to be lights in this world. See the depths that what you called us to. Holy Spirit, reveal in our hearts, God, areas that we're guilty as we go to your text. Even if it's not even related to what's being taught today, God, just reveal, make us holy, remove the guck, filth, the different thoughts, the feelings, Lord God, that are not of you. Help us to just feast in you, to find our joy in you, to see the holiness of your ways, your truth in the scripture. It's our prayer, Lord. Amen. So today we're going to continue our study on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And I had high hopes. I had big dreams. Pastor Brian, I had big dreams of reading verses 38 through 48. I had big lofty goals, right? But that didn't happen. So we're just going to end up doing two verses today. 38 and 39. Because it's just too much. Is it Lloyd Jones? Is he the speaker that he would spend a week on just one word? So I guess this is my inner Lloyd Jones here. So we're going to look at today, chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount. If you remember last week, we looked at taking an oath, a vow. We kind of looked at the historical context of what it means to take an oath and to swear, not cursing, but to make a promise using the name of God. We looked at how the first century Jewish people would swear and making promises in different ways because it was a pretentious swearing. Many people didn't have intentions of keeping their actual word. And so Jesus says, just let your yes be yes and your no means your no be no. So we looked at that in the historical context. And so today we're going to look at verses 38 through 39. I wanted to get all the way down, but as I'm preparing, it just kept building and building. And so we're going to stay here today. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. This is Jesus, our Lord, is talking, but he's talking all throughout the scripture. So we're not that red letter Christian who says, oh, because Jesus is talking now, I really got to listen. No, all of this scripture is God's word. So, yeah. So the word of God reads, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye. Yeah. And a tooth for a tooth. 39. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, whoa, Jesus, really? Turn the other to him also. That's enough right there, right? That's enough to scare us. That's enough to say, whoa, Jesus, that's heavy here. Turn the other cheek. Now, if you've been with us, I know not all of you have, but you will notice the pattern. We should already know the pattern by now. And Jesus has set a pattern that he's contrasting the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the first century Jews of that period, to the righteousness of the kingdom of God. And so we've already seen how he's done that all throughout chapter 5. He's showing us, well, this is what your fathers were told. This is what your fathers say, but I say to you. So Jesus is again, he's showing us what the kingdom righteousness looks like. He's showing us what God is really saying behind those scriptures that they were building their life on. So we should already know what's happening here. So when we come to this text, when we come to verse 39, our ears should begin to perk up because we know that Jesus, when he says, but I say to you, we know that he is speaking with his own smicha. Remember, that's the Jewish phrase, smicha. That means you spoke with authority. Only a rabbi could speak with smicha. So Jesus is speaking with smicha. He's speaking with an authority. And when he says, but I say to you, one of the things that we should be expecting is that Jesus is going to say something that the status quo is getting wrong, right? When he says, but I say to you, it means that it is something that the status quo, it means that there's something in the first century life that they are totally misunderstanding about the word of God. There's something that they are not truly getting. And because Jesus is the truth and he came to give grace and truth, he's about to bring truth to the surface when he says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. See, the verse that they are alluding to, or the verse that Jesus is speaking about in the Old Testament context, verse 39, is Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 24. Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 24. Let's just go there. Old Testament. So we can see what verse they're alluding to, what verse they're speaking of. Exodus chapter 1, verses 23 through 24. You can also find scriptures on this in Leviticus 24:19 for all you note takers. You can also find the same topic being discussed in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. But today we're going to just look at Exodus 21, verses 23 and 24. Hear those pages turning? If you got a smartphone, I'm sure you're already there. Right? Or a smart gadget. And so let's just look at what he's talking about here. Let's see where they're getting that teaching from. Look at Exodus 21, verse 23 through 24. It says, but if there's any further injury, we'll get to the context of this in a minute. But if there's any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. So we see where the Pharisees and the scribes are getting their teaching. Now, if you dwell in theological circles, you'll know that they have a phrase for this teaching here. They call it the lex talionis. Lex talionis, that's Latin for the law of revenge. So they categorize this teaching here, this eye for an eye, a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth. It's the law of revenge. Maybe even your Bibles may even have that in the caption. This is the law of revenge, but I wouldn't categorize it as the law of revenge. I would probably say it's better categorized as the law of proportional justice. The law of proportional justice. Now, this law, or this lex talionis, the law of revenge, this law, this life for a life, this eye for an eye, this tooth for a tooth, it was part of the Jewish people, Israel. It was part of their judicial system. It was part of their judicial system and how they governed certain matters. It was a institutional thing. See, if you remember in Exodus chapter 18, Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 to 27, for all of my note takers out there, Moses was being overworked. In Exodus 18, Moses, he was getting overwhelmed. Moses is leading all of these people. He has a ton of people that he's responsible for. And Moses was getting burnt out. But then his father, Jethro, comes over there. He comes to young Moses and he gives Moses a little bit of wisdom. And he comes to young Moses and he tells Moses, he says, Moses, you're going to burn out. Basically, he doesn't say burn out, but I'm just kind of using our language. He says, Moses, you're going to burn out trying to handle all of this on your own. It's tough, Moses. You're going to burn out. Why don't you go and get some other folks, some other fellas to help you? This is basically what he said in our modern day vernacular. And so Moses listens to that wisdom. He listens to the wisdom from his father-in-law and he goes and he begins to appoint some elders, if you will, or some judges. And we understand from that scripture that Moses was set to handle the major issues, right? But the judges or the elders that he appointed, if you will, they were going to handle the minor issues. That's how they want to deal with this thing. Moses, you got the big stuff and we'll handle this other stuff over here. So Moses now gets some help. And how do you think that they govern? How did they govern when they came to matters? They govern based on the laws that God gave to Moses. They govern based on the laws of lex talionis, the law of revenge. So that would mean that if there was a situation where a person lost a limb, the elder, when they were going to adjudicate the matter, they would base their decision on the law of proportional justice or the law of revenge. So, for example, if a person lost a limb, based on the law of proportional justice, the one who caused the injury would also have to lose their limb, or they would pay some type of just compensation for their limb. And I say this word just compensation with an asterisk because we know from the Talmud and the Mishnah that the Jews didn't always literally or didn't always take an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth literally. But there were circumstances where they would allow some type of financial compensation as opposed to just taking someone's eye. So if someone caused me to lose an eye, sometimes they would just take some type of financial compensation to account for their loss of an eye. It was not always an eye for an eye. And we actually get some indications of this in Exodus 21. If you're still in there in Exodus 21, you'll notice that look at Exodus 21:21 and look at verses, 22. We'll see here. It says, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there's no injury. Look what happens. He shall surely be fined as what the woman's husband may demand of him. And he shall pay as who? The judge, remember these judges, as the judge decides. So we see in this situation right here that financial compensation was allowed for an early birth. I want you to skip down to verses 26. Same chapter, look at verses 26. This is dealing with slaves and servants. Look what it says here. It says, if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, look, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. If he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of his tooth. So you see how it's not necessarily tooth for tooth and eye for eye, right? He allowed the slave, if he lost his tooth, he said, okay, well, he can go free. If something happened with his eye, it wasn't, okay, now I'm going to take your eye. But in this situation, they allowed it to where that servant would be able to go free. So we see that there was punishment or there was giving some type of equal or just compensation for the injury sustained. And here's the thing about the lex talionis or the law of revenge. It was impartial. It went out to whoever. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. It didn't matter if you were a slave or an immigrant. It didn't matter if you were a widow. This law was impartial. The law of proportional justice was supposed to reach everybody. And see, here's the thing. The law of proportional justice, this lex talionis, all throughout the book of Exodus, all the laws that God has given, guess what? It is very relevant to what's happening now today, if you didn't notice. This lex talionis, proportional justice, is extremely relevant to the social and political times that we are in today. This proportional justice is directly related to the Black Lives Matter group, if you are familiar with what's going on in society. If you're familiar with all the protesting that we're having in the streets, all of the talks on police brutality, this all has to deal with justice and proportional justice. Now, brothers and sisters, if what I'm saying to you, though, is totally new, if you have no idea when I say the Black Lives Matter and the protests that's happening in the street and the issues surrounding the criminal justice system and the things that's happening, that's not a good thing, my brothers and sisters. That's not a good thing if you're totally ignorant to what's happening in people's lives and struggles, especially if we are called to be the light of the world. See, you cannot be the light of the world inside of a Christian bubble. You cannot impact. So you must know what's happening in our society. We must know what the pains and the struggles that people are dealing with. We cannot just isolate ourselves in this Christian bubble. May I remind you of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Remember that he goes directly through Samaria. Jews didn't go through Samaria. They didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. They would take the long way around so they didn't have to deal with the Samaritans. But no, Jesus went to the issue. He actually chose to go directly to the people. He didn't scoot around. And we as believers, we have to also not scoot around. We have a responsibility. We can't be lights huddled up together like this. You're lights when you go out there and you impact the world. So you want to know what's going on with people in this society. But with that said, I want to show you how the lex talionis is related to those issues that I mentioned. Now, remember, God or Moses appointed judges, and these judges were going to adjudicate the matters based on the law of proportional justice. They were going to be impartial no matter who it was, rich or poor, this and that. And see, the issue that we have right now in society is that many people, especially in communities of color, you're black and brown, they believe that right now our criminal justice system is not impartial. They believe that there are issues. They believe that it's not impartial when it comes to matters of race, of gender, and socioeconomic circumstances. You have one community that believes, no, it's not proportional. There's a disproportionate amount of people would be affected, they believe. And you also have one group that says, no, things are okay. It's not as you say. You're kind of going too far. And so that is what the issue that's happening right now in our society. You have different groups espousing different viewpoints. Some say, no, it's there's a disproportionate number of situations or people of a different group being affected. And you have others saying, no, this is happening. But I want you to think about this. When God gave all of these justice laws, when he gave these justice laws to Israel, when he gave the lex talionis, when he gave the law of proportional justice, did Israel keep these laws? No, Israel didn't keep these laws, right? I mean, how do you think Israel responded to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, which states that you shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take bribes. Do you think they kept that? No, they did not keep that. They did not keep the laws of justice. They were not impartial. They were very partial, depending on who you were. What about this? Do you think that how do you think Israel responded to Exodus 23:6 that says, you shall not pervert the justice or justice due to your needy or poor brother in his disputes? Do you think that they kept that? Do you think that they treated the poor just as they treated the rich when it came to issues of justice and different disputes? No, they didn't do it. Guess what? The rich were treated differently in Israel. Bribes were accepted. The immigrant was treated differently in Israel. The poor were treated differently in Israel. The widow was treated differently in Israel. None of them. Israel did not keep the laws of proportional justice. Israel did not keep justice. So what do you think happens in our society? What do you think happens in our justice system? Are we better than they? No, of course not. Of course there are inequities in our criminal justice system. Of course there are problems when it comes to racism, when it comes to police brutality. Of course there are disproportionate number of situations happening to communities of color. Why? Because we are a country that's been run by a fallen humanity. So just like with Israel, of course we have inequities. Of course that. Why? Because that is our fallen, sinful nature. So we cannot expect a perfect place. That's only going to be perfect when Christ returns. But until then, there are going to be injustices. There are going to be inequities when it comes to different situations in our government and in society. We can't expect anything different. So we must understand that. See, God is for justice. And that is why he had to give these laws. He had to give these laws to restrict, because our natural nature would not be to do these things. So that's why God gave these laws, these proportional justice laws, the lex talionis. Now, on the onset, though, when you read eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, it may seem very barbaric, right? It may seem, hold on, God, you're saying eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So somebody knocks out my tooth, I can go and knock out their tooth. That seems very barbaric. Like, God, why would you allow that? But if you're looking at it from that perspective, you're looking at it probably how I kind of used to look at it. And you actually need to kind of tweak your vision so you can see what God is really doing. See, this law of proportional justice, or the lex talionis, it was not a law to encourage vengeance or to encourage retaliation, but it was a law to preserve justice and limit retaliation and to limit vengeance. It wasn't to encourage it. It was to limit it. Let me give an example of what I mean. I grew up in a city, and there's many different cities in the society where, guess what? If you have a fight with a guy and you beat this guy up, guess what's going to happen? He's not going to just go home and get his big brother and they're going to come back and jump you. Now, when they lose a fight, they're going back home and they're getting a gun and they're going to shoot you and kill you. And guess what? And if they don't shoot you and kill you, they're going to see you out in the streets. And if they see you with other people, they may get shot and killed as well. See, that is not proportional. Do you get what I'm saying here? But that is the natural inclinations of our heart. You have wronged me, I don't care if you slap me, I'm going to take off your head. See, that is our natural inclination. Let me give you another example. I was listening to a pastor, and he was talking about how in his culture, if you knock out my tooth, we say we're going to knock out all of your teeth. You get what I'm saying? But do you see how that's not proportional, right? But that is the reaction of our heart. If you break my arm, I'm going to break your back. See, that is our natural inclination of our heart, is to go way beyond what happened to us. And so the lex talionis is actually coming to limit the revenge that you will take, to make sure that is proportional to the injury that you sustained. Let me give you another example from scripture. Genesis 34. If you want to go with me there, Genesis 34, Levi and Simeon, you guys remember them, right? We've been reading through Genesis in our daily Bible reading. Genesis 34, we have Levi and Simeon. Remember, their sister gets raped. Basically, she gets raped. And they're mad about it. They're upset. And so what do they end up going to do after their sister sustained that injury? Let's see what they end up doing in Genesis 34, verse 25. This is the girl. This is all of her brothers, what they did after the fact. Look at verses 25. Genesis 34. Look what happened. It says, now about on the third day, when they were in pain, that the two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, and Dinah's brother, each took his sword, look what happened, and came upon the cities unaware. And look what they did. And killed every male in the city. Do you see what's happening here? They went and they killed every male in the city. It says they killed Harmon and his son Shechem with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went forth. And look what it says in verse 27. Jacob's sons came upon the slain, and they looted the city, because they had defiled what? Their sister. Because you have defiled my sister, they said, I'm killing everybody. You defiled my sister in here, he said, I'm killing everybody. Not only is that, am I killing everybody, but I'm going to loot the city. And I'm taking your wives and your children. Do you see how that is not proportional? Do you see the trend here? That is the human heart right here. You wrong us, we don't care about no balances. We're going to go way beyond. It's not proportional justice. It's way beyond. There's an imbalance here. You can even look at it with the different school shootings. Now, I don't know about this latest school shooting, But if you look at the ones in the past, generally it goes like this. There's a person who has been ostracized. There's a kid who's been bullied. He's been picked on. He's been named. He has no friends. They call him different names. So what does he do? He goes back home because he's been picked on. And he comes back and he shoots up the whole school because they were calling him names. He takes everybody's life. See, that is the nature of the human heart. When we are wronged, we want true vengeance. We want to take everything, even if it's something minor. So when God gave the lex talionis, he was not giving a law to promote vengeance, but he was restricting the penalty that you could do. He's restricting the vengeance. He's preserving judgment to make sure that the punishment fits the crime. Eye for an eye, life for life, tooth for tooth. That is what they're doing here in Exodus. That's what God is doing when he gives that law. But Jesus, when he speaks on that, and back in our main text, you can go back here. But Jesus, he's showing us something even deeper about this law, or about this code of laws and the meaning behind it. And I believe that kind of, this, it cracks the code here, what Jesus is getting at. Jesus shows us here in our main text when he says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Jesus is showing us that the law of retaliation or revenge was not compulsory on behalf of the offended party or the one suffering the injury. It wasn't if God was mandating that you have to go and take off somebody's arm because they took off your arm. That's not what lex talionis was. God was not promoting a tit for tat life. That's not what that law commandment was for. He was not encouraging that tit for tat life. He was giving them a right to pursue justice if they chose to, a right to be a recipient of just compensation. But the key word that I said was it was a right. See, with the exception of murder, the lex talionis was not compulsory. When it came to murder, when you took somebody's life, then it was life for life. But the other circumstances, the offended party had a right to determine if he wanted to persecute the one who caused the injury. He had a right. And so we see that the proportional justice law, yes, it was on the books, a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth. Yes, the law of retaliation is in the Old Testament, in the scripture. Yes, it is codified in the Old Testament, but Jesus shows us that even though we may have a right to do something, he says we do not exercise that right all the time. And he shows us that the righteousness of the kingdom of God is when evil comes at us. He says the righteousness of the kingdom of God is to turn the other cheek when the slap comes across your face. That is the righteousness of the kingdom of God. That is what Christ is showing us here. See, my brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. It is a true sacrifice. It is a true laying down of your rights and putting my life in the hands of God. See, in Christianity, we love the Jesus that heals the sick and the lame. We love the Jesus that cares for the poor. We love the Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. But do we love the Jesus that says to turn the other cheek? My brothers and sisters, this is not a metaphor. This is a literal hand on cheek happening to you. And Jesus is saying to turn the other cheek, to give up your right to retaliate, give up your right to respond and turn the other cheek. This is real Christianity. This is not that fluff stuff. This is the truth of following Jesus. This is not just a faith of believing something and that is it. But this is when the rubber meets the road. This is a hard and difficult text. I struggled this week on this text. I didn't want to obey this text. Nobody wants to obey this text. Nobody wants to lay down these rights when somebody puts their hands on you. But Jesus is saying, my followers, my disciples, followers of me, the righteousness of the kingdom of God, this is how we respond when this type of evil comes our way. Christ is saying we give up our rights. See, when you come to Christ, you are giving up your rights. You're giving up your right to your own possession, as we see in Acts. You're giving up your right to your own time. You are no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. You're not yours. And Christ shows us this here in the scripture, that we lay down those rights. Paul even makes it clear as well in Romans 14:7, where he says, "For not one of us lives for himself, not one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Lay down our rights. Christ gets our rights. He determines how we live our life. Even if you go to the text, and when it comes to issues of divorce, yes, it's in the scripture that if your spouse cheats on you through adultery, yes, you can divorce. That's codified in the scriptures. But we looked at last week how that is not God's preferred way. Yes, you have the right to do it, but we looked in the scripture where that's not what God wants, even though it's codified there. So you're laying down your rights, even though I have the right to do it. No, I'm not doing it. We're laying down our rights. We also see in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 3 through 6, Paul, he's talking to the church in Corinth, and he's telling them how Paul says he has the right to marry like Peter. And Paul saying, I have the right to demand compensation and support from the church. But he says in that same chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, he says, "Nevertheless, we do not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ." Paul said, I have the right to do all of these things, but I am choosing not to exercise my right so I don't hinder the gospel of Christ. He says, yes, I have the right. I can do it, but I'm laying down my right for something else. Or you can think about Romans chapter 14, which teaches us to not use our freedom to violate the conscience of our brothers and sisters. If we are eating something or if we're doing something that bothers our brothers and sisters, yes, we have the liberty and the right to eat and do what we want. But the scripture shows us that if it bothers our brother or sister, if we are offending our brothers and sisters, then we should lay down that right for their sake. We lay down our rights. We lay it down. But even that, we can say, but Jesus, how can you say such a thing? Turn the other cheek when they slap me to turn the other way. How can you expect me to really live this out? Well, Jesus lived it out. The Son of God came. He laid aside his divine rights, as it tells us in Philippians 2, and took upon the form of a servant. He laid aside his divine rights and said, I'm taking on the form of a servant. I'm going to do your will, Father. So he laid aside his divine rights, his divine prerogatives, as he came and incarnated on this earth. You can look at Isaiah 50 verse 6, where it's speaking about the persecution that the Messiah would receive. He says, I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. As Jesus is taking the bruises and the spittings and the beatings, he doesn't respond in like manner. He doesn't do that. But he goes through. He endures it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 23, it says this, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. As Christ is going through his passion, he didn't respond in like manner. He didn't respond when the blows came to his cheek. But the scripture says that he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. And I believe that is at the heart of what Jesus is getting at, entrusting ourselves to God in the midst of evil, in the midst of being wrong, saying, God, you're still in control. Yes, I'm getting slapped. Yes, I'm getting persecuted, but God, you are still in control. I am entrusting my life to you, even when it's dark, even when it doesn't make sense. I'm still trusting you, even when it hurts. That's the heart of what Christ is getting at here. I also believe that our Lord is also, when he says to turn the other cheek, I believe that our Lord is promoting beatitude number 3. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? The earth, right? Do you recall, remember our study on meekness, what it meant? Remember, meekness was power under control. Remember, meekness meant there was a king and he could put the worst punishment on his servants, but he chose not to. And the scripture said that he was a meek king. Remember, meek means when you could say a word that can destroy a person because you have something on them, but you don't. That is meekness. You have the power and the authority to do something, but you choose not to. That's meekness. And that's what Jesus is showing us. We have the right to do something, but because of Jesus, I'm going to be meek and I'm going to give up my rights to follow Jesus and to walk in his steps and to live like Jesus. He's promoting meekness. He's promoting meekness. Are you meek when it comes to you being offended? How do you respond? How do you act? Are you meek? That is what Christ has shown us. That's why these Beatitudes are all important to all of the teaching that Jesus gives us. You need the Beatitudes in order to carry out the teaching of Jesus. You need the meekness. You need the merciful in spirit. You need to be pure in heart. You need to be the peacemaker. This helps you to live out all the things that Jesus is teaching. Meekness. Now, I want to make this point that I do not believe when Jesus is saying, but I say to you to resist the evil person, whoever slaps you. I don't believe that when Christ is making a statement, he had governmental or judicial systems in mind or institutions of government. I don't believe that Jesus was promoting injustice by saying you need to let all of the criminals just go away free and not to do anything. I don't believe that because the scripture doesn't say that. You can go to Romans 13 where it talks about government. They're ministers of God who do not bear the sword for nothing. It says that governments are God's avengers to bring wrath to those who practice evil. So I don't believe that's the case that we have here, that he's saying that. These words were not intended for institutions, but he's talking about the individual believer. The believer, this is how you respond. This is how you act when this situation of evil comes your way. But this also begs the question, which some of you should be thinking, especially my men in here. You should be thinking, but what about my family, right? Does this mean that I can't protect my family if evil comes our way? Is that what you're saying? Am I being like Jesus? Am I supposed to just allow a person to just hurt my family? No, obviously. But here, I want you to say this. I want to set up the no. All through all scripture, Old and New Testament, we find that the believers are commanded to stand up for the voiceless. You can find that in Proverbs. They are to stand up for the orphan. All throughout scripture, Old and New Testament, they are to stand up for the poor. They are to stand up for the immigrant. That is all throughout scripture. Matter of fact, you can go to Job. Let's go to Job. Job 29. I want to show you how Job responded. Job 29, verse 14. But our main text is 17, but I just want to read it to give you context. I want to show you how Job responded. All right, Job chapter 29, verse 14. Job says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. He says, my justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy and I investigated the case which I did not know. Look what 17, here's our main text. Look what he said he did. He said, I broke the jaw, or your text may say, I broke the fangs of the wicked. And look what he did, and snatched the prey from his what? Teeth. So Job seen a situation where the wicked had prey in his mouth, metaphorically, and he said that I broke the jaw, I broke his fang, and snatched the prey from the wicked person's teeth. Or you can even go to Rahab and the spies. When evil came to her door, how did she respond? Did she resist evil by hiding the spies? Or did she say, come on in? No, she stood up. She stood up. She stood up and resisted. Or you can even go to even more modern examples. Think about Nazi Germany. And there were many of the Germans and believers who actually hid many of the Jews when the Nazis came knocking at their door to take their lives. They resisted evil in that sense. Or you can go to the Underground Railroad with Harriet Tubman and how she freed the slaves when the slave catchers were coming at the door. You had many Christians who were hiding and defending and protecting the slaves. They were sticking up for them. So yes, you have a responsibility to protect not just your family, but the lives of others. But we see that when it came to our own personal circumstances here, Christ said to turn the other cheek. To turn the other cheek. Now, I want to throw this out here. In a text, let me get back to Matthew. Matthew 5, where am I at? I want you to notice something that Jesus says, if you're slapped on your right cheek, to turn the other cheek. And I'm telling you this because I want you to see that Jesus is addressing a personal, individual matter. This is not institutions. This has nothing to do with you protecting your family. But he's addressing the individual. There's many commentators in Matthew 5, and I think I'm starting to be a believer, that says we know that Jesus is really talking about personal individual issues and not our responsibility when it comes to others and protecting others because of what he says here. It says that when he says that whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other. If you think about it, if I have a person in front of me and I'm going to slap him on the right cheek, either I'm left-handed, which most people are not, or I'm going to do like this, which is a back slap, right? Which is more of a slap of disrespect in this first century culture. It wasn't a punch. It's a backhanded slap. When you do this, this was a sign that you were disrespecting the person. This is like a Roman soldier saying, hey, you Jews, move out my way. And Christ is saying, we don't turn the other cheek. Now, there are some people that take that to mean, no, he wasn't talking about that per se, that it wasn't just a minor issue, but it's all issues. And those are more of your extreme pacifists, and there are some believers that really believe that way. But I believe that Jesus is talking about an individual issue. This is not a slap of mortal danger that you're in, but this is a slap of vengeance of somebody doesn't have a issue with you, a slap of more of a disrespect. And he's saying we are not going to respond in like manner, but we are to turn the other cheek. So that being said, my brothers and sisters, before we close out, I want you to not do something. When we close out, I want you to not ask any but what if questions. Because I'm sure when you read this text, we can go, but what if I'm in this situation? But what if that? No, I want you to wrestle with this text yourself like I did this weekend. I'm serious. I want you to wrestle with this text. I want you to wrestle with scenarios. Because this is a very difficult text to live out. And it had me questioning a whole bunch of things about my own self. My wife will tell you. So when you go home, wrestle with this text. Don't just go to Google with trying to get understanding. Don't just go to YouTube and try to get Paul Washer's understanding or whoever. No, I want you to wrestle with this text. And then next week you can ask the what if questions. But with that said, we're going to stop here, and I wanted to cut it off. I wanted to do the other verses, but we're going to split this in a part two. So we'll continue this text next week. We'll look at verses 40. I'm going to try to get to 48. And so, keep speaking on eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, because the next verse also speaks to our rights being laid down in the Jewish system when it comes to cloaks. All right, I'm not going to give away next week's message, but I'm going to just stop right now and let's go into prayer. But I really want you to meditate on this text and how you look at it. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture, Lord. We thank you for challenging us to making us examine ourselves if we really want to live for you and really want to carry our cross. God, help my brothers and sisters as they wrestle with this text and understanding you have called us for a life of holiness, of true holiness, of laying down our rights, laying down our possessions and our time for you. Help us deal with the reality of what that really looks like in our modern day context. Help us to get understanding of your wisdom is greater than ours. So even when it doesn't make sense, we must trust in you. Help us to see that. God, we thank you for your truth and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.